Hi, I'm Michael Feinstein, and this is the Song Travels Podcast. Each week on Song Travels, my guest and I share an hour of conversation and music. The Song Travels Podcast features some of my favorite moments from the interview. To listen to full episodes online, visit npr.org, and for more podcasts, subscribe at itunes.com/songtravels. Hi, I'm Michael Feinstein. My guest today is Grammy Award-winning classical guitarist Sharon Isbin. She began learning guitar as a child in Italy and went on to study with Rosalind Turek and the legendary Andres Segovia. With more than 25 albums and a lifetime of performing worldwide, she has commissioned and premiered some of the finest new guitar works of the century. She is the first and only female guitarist to win a classical Grammy, and she's the founder and director of the guitar department at the Juilliard School of Music. And she's the subject of the recent documentary, Sharon Isbin, Troubadour. Sharon Isbin, welcome to Song Travels.
It's a pleasure to be here with you, Michael.
Thank you. I have such a fascination for the guitar because even though I've heard it all my life in many different forms, I don't know a lot about it. And I would imagine that as ubiquitous as the guitar is in all of our lives, most people don't know much about it, particularly classical guitar. What is your earliest memory of becoming aware of the guitar as an instrument?
I would have to say that hearing folk music when I was a child was something that really drew me to the instrument. And then when I was 9 years old, our family moved to Italy. I was born in Minneapolis, so it was quite a contrast, as you can imagine. And we lived in Varese. And my older brother said he wanted guitar lessons. And my parents got excited when they learned that there had been a student of Segovia who was concertizing all over Italy, Aldo Minella, and he was coming to Varese twice a week from Milan. So he took my brother for the interview, and he realized it was classical and said, no, I want to be Elvis Presley, none of this classical stuff. So he never had a lesson, and I volunteered to take his place out of basically family duty.
Did you have any idea what you were getting into?
No, I really had no idea, but because I love folk music and folk guitar, I figured it couldn't be too far afield. And I think what really turned me on at the beginning was I had to have an instrument built for me. I'd already given up the piano at the ripe old age of 8, and I was ready for something new. And here was this beautiful instrument built just for a 9-year-old child, and it was mine. It wasn't being shared with other kids, and it was something very special. It felt very earthy, and I loved the sound and the intimacy of it.
Was the guitar built for you immediately, or was there a recognition that, there's talent there?
No, it was really, they took a chance. So it took a couple months for it to be built, and it almost derailed because I had to take sight singing, and I didn't want to do that, but they said, well, you can't have your lessons unless you do that first, so I had to comply. But what was interesting about the whole experience is the teacher ended up being the father of the guy who had studied with Segovia and was concertizing. And he said this was just like putting his young Aldo's hands on the guitar. I, on the other hand, was content to just do 20 minutes a day and call it quits. And that went on for the whole year, and then it didn't get much more when I came back to Minneapolis. So it really wasn't until I was 14 and won a competition. The award was to play with the Minnesota Orchestra. And suddenly I found myself in front of 5,000 people and this incredible backup band behind me. And I was playing Vivaldi, and I thought, this is really even more exciting than what I was dedicated to, which was building and launching model rockets. So I decided that this was an incredible rush to be able to play with an orchestra like this and have an audience like that. And I decided to spend all those hours that I was putting in on science now, dedicate that to the guitar. And that was the turning point.
Are your parents musical, or were they musical?
Well, my mother's side of the family is very artistic. We have professional musicians, theater people. And my mother had certainly wonderful musical talent. My father's the scientist side, so it was an interesting mixture.
I'd like to get to the music. You're generously going to play some things for us live today. And one of the things you've chosen is by Enrique Granados, whose piano music I know fairly well. Did he write specifically for the guitar, or is this a piece that was transcribed? And if so, was it by him or by someone else?
Well, he actually never wrote for the guitar, nor did he transcribe for the instrument. But people like Jobet and Segovia brought a lot of this kind of music to the instrument, and they chose music of Granados and Albéniz mainly because it sounded like guitar music and was inspired by it. So you'll hear some flamenco-like touches, you'll hear that beautiful lyricism, and it's music that could have been written for the guitar.
Hmm. Well, let's listen now. You're going to play by Granados, the Spanish Dance, number 5. Beautiful piece, the Spanish Dance number 5 by Enrique Granados. How often do you do transcriptions yourself? Because you're going to play something for us that you actually transcribed.
Well, I was asked a number of years ago to play on a folk program that Garrison Keillor was putting together, and I remember that Jean Redpath was on that as well, and she and I collaborated and did some Irish songs, Scottish songs actually, and it was getting close to the performance, and I thought, well, what else can I do on this program? So I'd always loved the music of Naomi Shemer from Israel, and one of the pieces that particularly moved me was her beautiful Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, or Jerusalem of Gold. So I thought, why don't I go to her songbook and pick out several songs and make a suite out of it? So what I'd like to play for you now is that one movement from the suite that I arranged by Naomi Shemer called Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, Jerusalem of Gold. I actually had the opportunity to play it for Shemer and get her feedback on it. And she really loved it, said I didn't need to change anything. And I'm glad I had the opportunity to do that before she passed away. It's a very beautiful song. It became especially well known during the 67 war, almost like a national anthem for the country. And to me, it is evocative of the spirit of hope and resilience that the Israeli people have. And in fact, I even played it at the first memorial for 9/11 when I was asked to play at Ground Zero. This was the first time that the 24,000 family members and survivors came to that hallowed ground from that terrible tragedy. And there were a few of us that played throughout the whole three-hour reading of the names of the nearly 3,000 who were murdered there. And I decided after that experience that I would play some of that music as an encore, particularly this piece of Shemer, for the next year in reference. And it was very moving to have people come up to me who had lost family members or friends and say how much it meant to them to have that acknowledged. And to me, it made sense, since the Israeli people suffer terrorism all the time. And it made sense that I would play that piece then and for you now.
Here it is, our guest Sharon Isbin performing Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, Jerusalem of Gold by Naomi Shemer. Thank you. You've been listening to the Song Travels podcast. To stream the full hour of this program, visit npr.org, and thank you for listening. I'm Michael Feinstein, host of Song Travels. You can find more information on our Facebook page at facebook.com/songtravels.